But so Ian often uses my house because I actually put a tap before my PRV.
Okay.
He gets a true reading coming off of that line.
Yeah.
And I'm at the bottom of the line.
Right.
Last house. So he knows what that is. And so, but yeah, unfortunately, there's so many of our residents, so many of the dead ends that we don't have that availability.
Yeah. I really haven't had a chance to actually walk, you know, physically walk each one with Ian.
Yeah.
Jake and Ian did walk it at one point, and they're like, we need help type of thing. This needs to be a bigger thought process than just some whim with each other.
So come the springtime, that part of the contract will initiate, but we don't know right now if the current design, which is to add another PRV pit,
will replace.
It will replace.
With a bigger one. That's the best alternative.
Yeah. So we don't know if that's going to be the final solution, right?
Yes.
Okay.
At this point, I don't know that.
Just
doing some initial investigation when I was up there.
Yeah. So who's going to be working on finding that solution so that come springtime we can engage that work again and get right to what it's
going to be? I would offer my services to do that with Ian and really look at the hydraulics and then look at the mapping and see where we are for pressures. Because, again, you know, the old maps that I have are 20 years old.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, Ian's like, well, that's not right. Well, what is right? I mean, that time can be sucked into the asset time frame.
Okay.
So I'll look up if you have the link, I'll look up, because I know December is when that
asset. It came to the office that was forwarded to.
Yeah. It's about a 20.
Grant.
20 grand.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
I think it was it a 50-50 match usually, or is it?
I'll redo it,
because that's something we want to get in the works.
And we've gotten that
voters.
Before.
We have
gotten 15,000 out of it.
Yeah. So like a few other projects that people want to do that too. So it's something that, you know, we want to get that in with Louie.
Yep.
Over there at the DES.
Yeah. So Kathy and Paula, after this meeting, I'll reach out to Louie Adonaro.
Yeah.
He's the asset management coordinator. I'll ask him for the time frame on the application for the grant, and I'll work with the office admin if we have time, we'll discuss it at our next meeting. But if it has to go in,
I'm pretty sure it was mid-December, like December 10th or December 15th.
Okay.
Something like that.
It's an annual submission.
Yep. All right. Because there may have to be quite a bit of writing to go with this.
Yeah, and I would help you on the technical side. Trying to achieve.
All right.
That's all I have.
So, Jay, are we making a motion to have Chris put together the application, or do we want to look at the application and wait till next week?
Why don't we wait till next week, but we look at the application process now.
We'll start formulating a process right now. And again, any type of applications, anything like that, I do free of charge. So, again, there's no cost for me to spend those man hours.
Helper. Okay. Thank you for that. Thank you, Chris. Because I know last year when we went for the grant, we were, you know, at the 11th hour scrambling to get signatures and approvals and submissions and all of that. So hopefully we won't end up in that same situation over a $20,000 grant.
Yeah.
Okay.
What they've done is that was the groundwater trust. This is SRF, but the groundwater trust. I did 6 applications this year for groundwater trust, and I submitted. But the paperwork last minute, there was 77 applications for groundwater trust last year.
Yeah.
This year there was only 17. Because they made the application so difficult, and I got kind of blindsided on those too.
Yeah,
they're making it harder to give out free money now.
Nothing's free. All right, I'm going to move on to the Kelly Robitel. I believe took today off. Is that right?
Yeah.
Do we know if Jeff's out as well?
No, Jeff's here.
He is here. Okay,
yeah,
great.
Till noon, don't forget.
Yep, before the holiday. Okay, and so I'm going to jump right over. Admins for their.
So we're done with Chris and Brad. They can.
Yeah, I'm head out.
Yep.
Okay.
Where are you going to be, Chris?
We're going to park our trucks up at Brian. I can just
stop.
Start walking down.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you want to swing by or give me a call.
Yeah, I'll probably swing by, and if I see two old men struggling to get up the hill, I know it's you.
Yeah. I don't know if
All right, you guys have a great Thanksgiving. Thank you. Yep.
Yes, thank you, Brad.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you both. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, yep.
Have a
good
Oh, yeah.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, everyone be safe.
Yeah.
Yes, we'll try. We'll see how this all works out come Christmas time, right?
Yeah, well, yeah. Luckily, unluckily, it's just my wife and I, so I'm going to take a few bonus, but pass
take
those around.
Take them up to the boys. If you guys want any, take what you want. Right?
Yeah, bring them upstairs or something. Take them upstairs.
I meant take them to the DPW.
Yeah, take them over there because it's just Dana and myself. It'll be all right.
Yeah.
I'll take a few from them.
And Paul, what do you like, jelly or honey dip?
You got donuts? How's that?
I got donuts.
All right, so Lynn and Donna, yeah, you got the mic. Go ahead.
Thank you all.
Thank you, Chris.
All right. I drafted the final water usage bill, if that's okay to go out with the bills on December 1st.
Did you send that to us?
I did.
Kathy look at it? Oh,
I did not.
It was kind of a new
development in that. I'm going to take you off speaker. Hold on one second.
It sounded like we could, as a municipality maybe, we had the right to put a lien on their property without having taken it to small claims court.
Excuse me, Kathy, just to shorten the meeting. This is the final for the bills under 1,000.
Under 1,000. Okay.
This is for the third. You know that we was the $10 a month per the water ordinance.
Oh, gotcha, gotcha. Okay.
That's this letter that I just wanted for the approval from the board. If I can send that with the
December bill.
Wanted me to draft the letter, so that's the letter
okay.
I drafted.
Okay, so what we're saying is a final notice, and if it's not paid by a certain date, what's going to happen next?
Further, if you choose to, there the bills under 1,000 if we put a lien on the property.
No, what happens next is we shut the water off.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
That's what my question. Okay, because right, if it's a final bill and it doesn't get paid, we pass the date, then we have the option of shutting off their water. Okay.
Right.
And just for a statistics, how many people are now under 1,000 but will be getting this letter?
I think there was like 15.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Okay. All right.
So the other part of coordinating this is once the bill is received on December the 1st.
Well, they should go out December 1st.
Yeah.
They were given to the 30th of November.
Yeah. So
December.
Once out on December 1st, we have to wait. Do we have to wait legally 30 days?
To shut the water off.
Shut the water off.
Yeah.
Okay. Just so we have those names of these individuals, and 30 days from December, that'll be right at the beginning of January. I don't know how much snow cover there's going to be, but obviously sending Ian out to turn these water services off is going to cost money, but far less than what they owe us.
We don't have to shut it off 30 days from the date. But we're notifying them that we have the right to do that.
Yeah, and I'm wondering if we have the right almost now, not now, but after they get this letter. I'm wondering if it's a 30-day. Obviously, I think
it
would be
right. Well, on the bills, it states that we have the option to shut the water off on all the bills.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Well, get the letter out, then we can deal with, you know, then if half of them pay and half of them don't, then we can deal with those individuals at that point. So if it's not paid by January 1st, then we can have that discussion.
Okay. So I'll make a motion that...
Did we get like a stamp or something or a colored envelope that says last due notice or something? Remember we talked about that?
I can go to Staples and see if they have a stamp.
Yeah, I was supposed to do that for you, Donna. I forgot.
Okay. But as far as
I'll tell you what, we have
to town later today. I could probably run in there really quick and to see if they have one. You know,
and
I
you know what
that.
Else? I think we've got a whole bunch of colored paper there, and maybe just print the notice on yellow paper. And whatever it's going to show in the window of the envelope.
I'll run to Staples this afternoon and or whatever office, whatever the place is called, and see if they have something like that. But if they don't, I'll let you guys know. I'll call you. But if they do, I'll drop it off. It probably will be late this afternoon, though, so if you're gone, I'll get it to you on Friday. Are you going to send those today?
No. Well, they have until the 3rd to pay us,
right.
So it's December 1st.
December 1st. So as far as the content of this letter, make a motion that we approve the content of this letter to be sent out after the November 30th deadline. Do I have a second to the motion?
I'll second that.
Okay.
I don't see this letter, you guys. I'm sorry. I'm looking for it. I went through all my email last night and I must have missed it. So if you guys are okay with it, I'm sure it's fine. I mean, I don't know what happened.
Oh, no, on Monday.
Invoice. Hold on, let me see if I can find it. Invoice.
Let me read it to you, Paula.
Read it. I'm sorry. I'm looking through. I don't see it anywhere.
The date, the deer, and, of course, the recipient. This is a final reminder that your payment of your water bill, a usage bill, is overdue. Statements have been sent out to you on April 1st, 2020, August 6th, 2020, and November 1st, 2020. Late fees have been applied according to the district's water ordinance. We are including an additional $10 per month for the month's of September, October, and November, as stated in the district's water ordinance. Failure to pay any water service charges can result in having your water supply turned off. Payment is due upon receipt of this notice. Please submit a check money order to the district. Check should be made out to the Village District of Idlewise.
That's fine. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
The only thing I would say is, instead of saying we can turn off your water, I just wonder if we should be more firm and say, I don't know. It's fine. I don't know. It's a way to say it will be turned off.
You don't want to say we. Yeah, you don't want to say we will shut off your water.
We can shut off your.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Your water service.
Like, you will not be notified again before the water. You know. I don't know.
Yeah. Failure to pay any water service charges can result in having your water supply turned off.
Yeah.
I would add without further notice. You're right, Paul. That's
without
a good.
Further,
that's a
I would
good,
say with, just say, yeah,
without further
perfect.
Notice.
That's okay. Perfect, Kathy. Yep. Yeah.
I'm just going to jot.
Yeah, because I think if somebody said that to me, I'd kind of expect another notice before you actually go ahead and turn it off. So I know it happens, but.
All right.
Lynn?
Okay. All right.
So with that change, I would vote yes.
Okay, we have an amendment to the letter. So with the amendment on the floor and the motion still in play, do we have any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, ladies.
You don't have to thank us.
That was a tax lien letter that Linder sends to people that they've had, like they've helped them with their oil bills or whatever. But that's, Linda told me that we could just put a lien without any notice. We don't need to, keep sending certified letters or anything to people. That can just be attached. She just questioned the RSAs for us because of being a village district. Compared to the town of Madison. So she just records them at the Registry of Deeds that we can do for the ones that we have. I just have to get the correct RSAs, I guess. And I just printed in there in the back for the RSAs that we could use. For
Would we want to reach? Would you reach out to NHMA and just ask them for assistance?
Yeah, that's what I was. I just got that from Linda, and I was just looking into it yesterday, and I was going to follow up with NHMA.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah, NHMA will be able to fairly quickly tell us whether village districts can use this lien process.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what RSA would apply.
And the other question is, I don't know if you had discussion with Linda on this, but what would the cost be for recording these liens?
She didn't say. I'd have to find out from the...
Probably like...
It's a lot less than the $90 taking them to small claims court.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. And you could include the one, Donna, on Oak Ridge also, even though we haven't been able to... We didn't send them the certified letter, but I think that that's a property we definitely should get a lien on.
You told me to mail that out, and it came back undeliverable.
Yep. So,
yeah.
Which one was that?
The one near you.
On Oak Ridge, I believe.
449.
Yes, Kevin O'Neill's house.
24.
Oh,
yeah.
That one. Oh, yeah.
What we were holding his mail because the post office was under the assumption he was still overseas, but we found out that he is now back in the area, but he still has not picked up his mail.
Oh, yeah. The COVID has pretty much kept him homebound for now almost a year.
Yeah. And you've seen him. I've seen him, so we know he's around. Okay. Good.
The next thing that I have is the the CRF. I had to do a 91A for a resident, and going through the CRF, I found two items that should have gone through. We should have gone through according to the minutes. One was for the Monadnock archaeology study, and then the other one that we could take out of the water extension fund was for the tight tank. For changing the water line. And I know we went over on the tight tank
warrant article.
And I didn't know if that had anything to do with changing the water line because we were supposed to change the water line, and we had up to $5,500 to spend from the extension fund on that.
Yeah, so the water line is basically what we decided at the time to be like a water main break, and this is what it cost for the fixing of it. We chose to do a replacement to eliminate the bleeder, so we got double points there. Now, the overage on the tight tank warrant article, which I believe was just under $500,
$700, I think.
So how much of Ian's bill was related to the extension of that water line and the elimination of the bleeder?
I'd have to look into that, Kathy.
Yeah, that's
okay. Because
that's what we could have used
use the capital reserve fund to pay for that.
The water line extension.
Right.
Yes.
So that's the water repair. So all of his bill. That should come out of the waterline extension fund for repair.
Okay, so maybe we didn't go over if that was included in the tight tank?
No.
Well, we got to find
this warrant article.
But I don't know if I put the Simply Water bill into it, is my question.
Oh, you don't know if you did?
We have to find the bill. We've got to find the bill from Ian for that work and see how we posted it first and how much of that bill was for that portion of the tight tank project.
Yeah, but I believe, if I recall, this is just my memory, I believe we did go over on the warrant article for the tight tank, and the reason being was that it was assumed because no engineering was done prior to determine how thick that concrete floor was in the garage, so it's assumed to be anywhere from 4 to 6 inches, standard industrial building garage floor. It ended up being 36 inches. And the largest cutting saw in the valley couldn't even cut through it because it was so deep. They had to go get a jackhammer. That was of no fault of the contractor, but the fact that we did not describe what they would have to cut through in order to bury that drain line to the tank.
Right. Right. But, Jay, in addition to that, was some of the water main repairs and moving of the bleeder included in the tight tank warrant article? It may have been. And if we, so that's what we have to do. We have to look at Ian's bill and see if, in fact, because it was part of that whole project, it may have been expensed to the warrant article, when there should be a portion of that that should have not been expensed to the tight tank warrant article and was, in fact, more of a water line extension / replacement.
Yeah, okay, I got you.
That's what we have to find out. What did Ian's bill look like? And, Donna, I can help you with that, and we can look at it if you can just send it to me and see how we allocated the cost from that bill back in February or March, whenever they did that. Probably April, I think. It was April.
Okay.
Okay, Donna, if you could do that, find Ian's bill for the work that he did, and then just you know, scan it and send it to me, and then we can talk about it and see how it was, what kind of line items we allocated those things to.
Okay, I will do that, and that will probably be Monday, Kathy.
Monday, okay, that's fine.
Dinah came in this week, and the water extension fund in the annual meeting of 2019, it was Article 19 to establish the water extension fund expendable trust that we have to do. And I know, she was questioning we had to talk to the trustee over at the town to see how to establish that.
Mm-hmm.
But I know it's December 10th that we have to that's the last that we could do anything with the for the year with the CRF.
Well, so here's how all this transpired. When I was putting in the warrant articles for the meeting for 2019, Michelle was reviewing them, and she indicated to me that the waterline extension fund, even though it wasn't funded with property taxes, that it was funded with user fee, with hookup fees, that it still should not be under our control. It should be held by the trustees of the trust. And the RSAs that she cited, when I read them, had nothing to do with what we were working with. So I would, for now, Donna, I would leave it as is.
Okay, I just, like I said,
because I read it, and it was talking about the medical health trust for, you know, putting money aside for medical things for employees. It had nothing to do with an expendable trust fund held by a district. So I would just leave it. And if she comes back at us, we'll take care of it in January or February.
Hi, this is Dinah.
Yes, ma'am.
So we're not going to put the extension fund into a trust fund for now.
Right, it's already in a trust fund, but they're saying that it should be handled by the trustees of the trust, that we shouldn't, what she said to me was, we shouldn't have control of that trust fund money.
Which we do, right now.
Which we do, and I think we thought, because it's not taxpayer money that's in those trust funds, it's the hookup fees, that's the money that's in that account, that's
right.
Why it was held in our name, not in the trustees. But the RSA numbers that she referenced had nothing to do with that.
I'm fine with that if you're fine with that.
Just leave it. We'll leave it. And remember how we were told that we had to every year vote to allow the commissioners to spend up to $50,000 from that fund?
Yep.
But she didn't, she had, and Michelle said, well, why are you doing that? If the commissioners are agents to expend, their agents to expend. You don't have to, you know, call out that specific amount of money separately. You don't do that with all the other trust funds. So I wasn't planning on putting that on the Warren article this year at all. The money's there. We're agents to expend. And unless they tell us different, I think we should just leave it alone.
Well,
yeah, I think that's
more convenient for me because we still need to charge back the expenses we incurred for water hookups. And
yeah,
that was going to be difficult with dealing with the trustees. So as
right.
far as the
and like,
goes, I agree with you.
Yeah, and like the one for Biasca, you know, we sent him a check, he gave it back, then we refunded him, and then he didn't cash it, and then so I think that you're right, because of all the in and out transactions, it does make more sense for us to be in charge of it. We're keeping it separate and accounting for it, so that's not an
yep.
issue.
Okay. Well,
all right, we're on the same page. Okay.
Okay.
So, Donna, you know what? I wouldn't even worry about it.
Okay, that's fine. I just need a clarification.
Okay.
And
yes.
fees, we did incur fees for 7Byte Biasca. Do we take that out of, we can take that out of, even though we returned that money?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, we can send that to return to the extension. We can pay for it out of the extension fund.
Okay.
That's something we really need to clarify with the water ordinance, so it's not a gray area, it's totally black and white. So when you review the water ordinance, that's very important.
Yeah. And one thing, Jay and Dinah, I didn't see anywhere that if the property owner chooses not to hook up for whatever reason, whether we tell him he can't or he chooses to not expend the money and go with a well, it doesn't say that we give him 100% of his hookup fee back.
Well,
he's just always done that, but it doesn't say it. It doesn't say he'll get an entire refund of the $8,000 hookup fee.
And that's something we can put into the policy, saying that any expenses incurred with this water hookup will come out of the $8,000 deposit.
Right. But it doesn't say that we're gonna give him back his full amount. But it also doesn't say that he has to pay for any costs incurred. And Paula had a good point previously, saying maybe up to $1,500, because that's about what it costs to have somebody go out there and do some poking around to see what's going on there.
Yeah, that seems fair to me.
Yep.
And the other thing you could do is make it a non-refund. Part of it is a non-refundable application fee.
Yeah.
You know? And that way,
oh, that's true.
You always keep, you know, you can do it that way so that it's not like sort of random, like it's 500, you know, so it's 500 of it is not going to be refundable no matter
right,
what.
Right, because if we send it for hydraulic modeling, that always costs a couple of $100, so there's always going to be some kind of cost there.
Yeah, and that way you always
okay.
And then there's our cost just for processing it, you know, within the office and stuff.
We're very expensive that way, I know.
You know, I don't know.
Okay.
It just means like that just keeps it always the same, so that even if it's 1,000, I don't know. That's another way to look at it. Just an idea. Okay.
I have a couple more things to say. Should I say them now about finances?
Sure, go ahead.
I have some good news regarding the water usage fee. We have $30,000 in that. So I would recommend that we transfer $28,000 to the water capital reserve. That's what we usually do. So
okay.
I would like to take all that excess money and deposit $28,000 into the Water Capital Reserve by the 10th of December, like we're supposed to, okay?
Do we anticipate anything else coming in for bills or problems between now and then?
Nope.
Yeah, well...
$1 minimum balance that we have to keep in the account, and then I was leaving another $1,000 in there just in case anything came up.
Okay. But do we have, I saw some emails going out yesterday to Ian. Do we have all of his bills?
This has nothing to do with Ian's bills. This is the water usage. Ian's bills come out of the extension account.
Well, some of them do. I mean, if there was a break or a repair that was not part of a hookup, it would come out of that account.
No, it would come out of the extension.
No?
A water break would come out of the extension, right?
No.
It would come out of repairs.
We come out of repairs, right. But it wouldn't really, because that's not really an extension. You know, if there was a, yeah.
All right, so we need to make that.
Dinah, how about take out $25,000? I'd feel better with $25,000 instead of $28,000.
That's okay with me.
Okay.
I'll have you guys sign one of those transfer forms just so it's official what I'm doing.
Oh, okay. You have to, yeah. Okay. All right, okay. So $25,000. Jay, I'll make a motion to transfer $25,000 from the water usage fee to the Water System Capital Reserve Fund.
Just the general fund, yep.
I'll second the motion.
Yes.
Discussion?
Okay, all in favor? Yes.
Yes.
Aye.
Okay.
Perfect.
Okay, another thing that I looked into somewhat was the line/loan that we have coming. It's going to mature at the end of December. And I figured out that we're going to have approximately $175,000 as our principal. And I multiplied that by 12 years, and I used an interest rate of 2.75, which seems to be reasonable. I don't think interest rates are going to go up at all in the near future. And that came to an annual payment of about $17,100.
So $17,100 annual. Okay. Now, is that going to be set up like our other loans with two payments per year?
Yes, it will. So this loan, we'll get a bill in February for probably $8,000 for the last interest payment.
Mm-hmm.
And then we will pay half of that $17,100 in August. And then it will be that payment. And all of this is coming out of the water budget, I do believe. So.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. So $17,100. Okay. All right.
But I wanted to get you some figures for the budget.
Okay. Perfect. Yeah, because I did ask that last week, so that's good. Good to know. And how many years was that set up for?
12 years.
12.
So I did 175 using 12-year term and an interest rate of 2.75.
Okay, so that's going to be really close. Okay.
Yeah, I think it'll be a good placeholder for when we get the actual bill to going forward.
Yep.
Okay, so once we close on that end of December, we go into paying on that principal, that interest rate stays fixed for the 12 years, right? Or does it adjust?
No, it's fixed for whatever they deem the interest rate in, like, May or something when they switch it over. So that's why I'm using. Our other loans from them are 2.2 and 2.5 and so forth. So I was I used 2.75 just as, like I said, a placeholder till we know for sure.
Okay, great.
Perfect. That's wonderful. Thank you for doing that.
Okay.
What else you got?
That's what I have to say.
And the other thing was we were talking about the truck loan also, what the truck loan payments were going to be for next year.
Yeah. That's going to be, I think, $11,500 twice a year.
Yeah.
That's out of taxes.
Okay. Anything else, Donna?
Nope, that's all I have for right now.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, I'm going to jump back to the admins for the DOT-FM-CSA. We all know what that is, right? That's basically the drug testing.
Right, but I think this is actually for recording failures. And Donna Duncan sent us this offer to take care of this for us on a yearly basis, $50 a year, and then $8 per query. And I don't know if you want to do that because I don't think any of us have any clue how to access this information, and it is a DOT requirement.
Yeah, so we've had our drivers, CDL drivers for our district, have been randomly tested prior. I believe the office gets notified. They tell the driver, you're scheduled to go to this place and get tested. And if we had 100 employees, I'd say, hey, let them manage it. But we got two and a half employees that are CDL that would have to go through this DOT testing. So I don't see a need to jump into having this managed for us. You guys have already handled it very well. So.
Yeah, I agree with you, Jay. I agree.
Yeah, I agree, too.
Okay. All right. We got the minutes of 10:29 and 11:19. Want to take them separately? I'll make a motion that we approve minutes of 10/29/2020. I sent out a draft of my amendments. I don't know if everybody had a chance to read those.
I did. You're yellow and red.
Yeah.
You're yellow and red.
Those were the changes.
Yep, me too.
Okay. So I'll make the motion on the minutes of 10/29/2020. Any other amendments?
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
Who seconded? I'm sorry. Who seconded? Was it Paula?
Oh, I'll second.
Sure.
I didn't, but I will.
Okay. Just say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Yes.
Okay. And jumping to the 11:19 minutes, I'll make the motion. We approve the 11:19 minutes as drafted. Do I have a second?
The only thing I caught was that we said Ralph Luchin's last name was Ralph Legend, and I don't think he's related to John Legend. So I just want to correct the spelling of his name for posterity's sake.
All right, I'll check that.
Okay. All right. It was toward the end when you were talking about the thank you letter, I think.
Okay. Yes. Oh, I see it. Yeah. He is a legend. All right.
Okay.
So we have an amendment on the floor to change, correct the spelling of Ralph Lutchen's name. I'll make the motion to approve the November 19th. All in favor say aye.
Yes.
I think
aye.
Paula was in agreement with the amendment, and that's her, she seconded me.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, Lynn, have you been able to post these minutes onto the website?
I was going to do that.
Okay.
I can do it. I was waiting to post the draft, and then I'll post them as approved, if that's all right.
Yep, that's perfect.
Okay.
Yay.
Okay, we have here a copy of the motions and actions log. Did you send this out, or is this?
Sent it out last week.
Okay.
This is just a sample that we took from the minutes.
This is the sample one you sent? It said sample motion and action plan from the 18th?
Yes.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to look at this.
Yeah, but it does have all of the... So you went through the minutes through last week or the week before and added lines to complete that form?
No, actually, we came up with a brand new form that kind of combines whether it's a motion or an action, who's responsible for it, what that action is, when it's completed, and if you need to expand it, skills, you certainly can. And then you can sort it by person, by motion, by action.
So it's an Excel.
Oh, look, I did see it come through, but on my phone I couldn't read it. But now that I'm settled here, I'll be able to have access to my laptop. So I'll take a look at that.
Yeah, I'll look at it this week as well.
Motions and actions. Okay.
And we can work our way back.
Okay.
Yeah.
To get everything.
Yeah, I'll take a look too. So we have motions and actions on here. We just don't have any of the warrant articles.
Yeah, the new one we do.
Yeah, okay, got it.
Either a motion and action or a warrant.
Great. This is a great tracking tool.
Yeah, that's a sample. That's going to be
okay. Better than my tracking tool.
And let me just ask a question. So if something is done, will there be a second worksheet that has moved things so that this doesn't become like a 20-page document? Like, will things move to a final? Once they're done, shouldn't they be moved to another worksheet?
It'd be a separate tab on your Excel spreadsheet, completed items.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Because you've got some of these things here aren't done, so they should actually be moved now once this is approved.
Yeah, right. We can do that. No problem.
Okay.
We got an email from Google Nest Aware.
Yeah, this came in that we have 14 days left with the new Nest Aware. I guess that's where it records
and saves.
So saving permanently, right?
Saving permanently. It's a $6 a month.
To the cloud.
Yeah. Now,
a month covers all the cameras.
Yeah, so if we do not sign up and go with Aware, how long are the videos and are any other recordings held for? Is it 1 week?
30 days,
I think?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, so...
And I think we only get up to 3 hours. 3 hours of documented videos, or 3 hours of videos, and then as we start using more than that, the oldest ones drop off.
Ah, okay, gotcha.
I believe that's what that part.
Yeah, let me ask the admins because they're the ones who are using the system. How much activity have you seen or been using with regards to at least the doorbell?
Not much.
So there's no false triggers. I remember the sound was one, and then we shrunk the scope of the camera down.
Yeah.
So it's only really somebody walking up to the door. What about if our DPW drives by? Are they captured?
I think so. Going in and out of the gate.
Yeah.
That's in
one. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. And so
we did turn off the recording.
Yeah. The audio.
Requested the audio.
So if. Do you think we need this to be held permanently?
We check it when we come in.
That's what I was going to ask. Do you check to see if anything happened overnight?
Yeah, Lynn's been doing that.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah.
See any wildlife?
I'm like, just you. No, I'm not.
So what would you recommend?
Well, it would be just the weekends that if anything, but we come in on Monday.
Yeah, we'll see that activity.
Yeah.
And I think that's all we were looking
for.
That's
all we were looking for, right. So I don't think it's a necessary fee.
Okay.
Yeah.
We could save something to another.
You can.
Box.
Yeah.
You can transfer.
We don't have to worry about that.
You can save it
to
your own device, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So if we have to do that, we will. Okay. Perfect. Okay. Verification of transfer from loan, and I believe that was done. Dinah had transferred that amount last week.
Yes, that was done.
Thank you, Dinah. And we have the New Hampshire Water and Wastewater Rate Survey. I look at that, and so there's a couple of water systems. Rockhouse Mountain, which is the old section of Idlewild.
Madison isn't on it.
There is no water system in Madison.
Oh.
I mean, there are. Basically, this building and the fire station is a water system because they're connected. There's a couple other really, really small, like the Silver Lake Landing is a big apartment building.
I just didn't know what it was. I've never came across it. So.
Yeah.
And this is just to set New Hampshire's water rate. Water rate.
It's just it's a survey to see where everybody else is in their water rate.
They contacted.
And I saw some similar sized water districts, and they were anywhere from 500 to well over 1,000. I saw a lake, which is at, I thought it was 770 something. We actually are running a very efficient at $400 a year. One of the lower prices.
I just didn't know if we were supposed to survey and put our our questions.
It's totally voluntary.
You, if you want us to do it or not, it's not a requirement.
It's not a requirement. Do you have? Is it a big? I don't think it's a big.
I don't know.
I have to
see how long it takes. But it doesn't let go any further than.
Right. All right. So what are your thoughts, Paula and Kathy? Do you want to add our information to this database?
I think if it's just a quick form to fill out. I mean, we looked at the other information and use that as a reference, and to have our information added in there, I think, is a good thing.
Okay. All right.
So that would, because that way
makes
we could,
sense.
It'll help the other districts look at us, and we're looking at them to just see where we stand compared to the others. So I think that, if it's four or five questions or something that Ian can help you with over a phone call, I would certainly do it.
Okay. Paula?
And there's no cost to it, so it's just, adding information to the databases.
Paula, do you have
that
anything?
That makes sense. Nope, okay. I agree.
All right. I'm going to skip over tabled items because they're tabled. Accounts payable, there's no manifest this week. Signature items. We have the thank you letter for Ralph Lutchen, and we have the RFQ for the surveyors. We have.
I don't like to spend. Oh, sorry. If you want to start going through each one.
Yeah. So
thank you letter. I don't like to bemoan thank you letters, but you used the word beautification twice in the same sentence, and it was a little much. It says your continued efforts towards beautification and support for the beautification of our facilities is very much appreciated. I think you can lose one of those beautification.
I
don't care which one. I would lose the second one.
Yep. Okay.
And just take and say beautification and support for our facilities.
Yeah. Oh, wait a minute.
Okay.
Oh, okay. I see what you did. Yeah, so that'll have to be reprinted.
Other, and then you spelled Kathy's name wrong, her last name.
Again?
Is that again?
I always... That's me. You copied
that's
it from me.
That's Kathy Kozile. Other than that, it looks great.
Okay, Kathy.
K-O-Z-I-E-L-L.
Yeah. Guess what's here? K-O-Z-I-E-L-L?
Yeah.
That's correct.
Oh, okay. What did you think it was, Paula?
You spelled it K-O-Z-E-I-L-E.
Hang on, let me just...
Well, anyway, so we know the right spelling, so they can...
They can fix that. Let's keep going.
Yep. If it's right, good. If it's not...
I didn't see the RFQ. Didn't we approve that last week?
We did. And so it's here today.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll find that when I go down to the office then, if it's the same thing we approved last week.
We have the thank you letter to Tamer Roberts. And let me read it.
Yeah.
You got it? Okay.
Yeah, they got it.
Any concerns or questions regarding this one? Can we go ahead and sign?
So my only question is, I have a comment for you guys on the when we get to the agreement with Plodzik and Sanderson. So I actually don't think we should send this letter to her until we sign the agreement. And I have a concern about one thing in the agreement that I'll share with you when we get to that. So we can either sign it and hold it. And I also wonder if we should just scan it once we're ready and send it to her with the other letter that we have for her.
Yeah, there's two letters to Roberts and Green.
Yeah, so the other one came from Plodzik and Sanderson. They want us to send her that letter authorizing her to give them some documentation from last year's audit, and there will be an expense for her to do that. So, she'll bill us probably at an hourly rate for that, which I think is fine. I don't think it's a lot of work. But as I said, I don't want to notify her that we're ending her agreement until we sign the agreement with the new people.
Okay.
And I don't think we'll be ready. I have a question on their agreement that I'll share with you. We can talk about that when we get to it. So I'm okay to sign both of her letters, but I would not send them.
Okay, so we'll sign them in session and we'll hold them until our concern with the new auditor is Plodzik and Sanderson is resolved, correct? Okay, so I'll make that motion. Sign the two letters who are addressed to Robertson Green, our existing auditor, until we resolve the issue with our intended new auditor, Plodzik and Sanderson. Do I have a second to the motion?
I'll second that.
Okay, further discussion?
The only discussion is just so we understand that in signing the letter to her that Plodzik and Sanderson drafted, we are incurring a few expenses that will have to be absorbed in somewhere in our administrative budget. So.
All right. So all in favor say aye. Aye.
Yes.
Aye.
Okay. Just signing right now myself.
And I would also suggest we just scan those and email them to her. That's why on the one I drafted, the thank you note, it said delivered via email.
Okay.
Yeah, instead of actually printing and mailing.
Yeah, it just takes so long, and why bother, you know. I think we usually communicate with her. Okay.
Right to the Plodzik and Sanderson agreement.
Okay.
Us to sign. And so what was your concern, Paula?
So I read through this, and the only thing that concerned me was the services page, the amount of money. This is an estimate they gave us. I didn't realize that. So this is not a firm number, the $6,200. Did I not print this? Oh, So it's on the third page. It says, our fee for these services is estimated to be $6,200 for each of these fiscal years. These fees are approximate and will be billed based on actual time spent on the audit. Our invoices for these fees will be rendered each month as work progresses and are payable on presentation. The above fees are based on anticipated cooperation from your personnel and the assumption that unexpected circumstances will not be encountered during the audit. If significant additional time is necessary, we will discuss it with you and arrive at a new fee estimate before we incur the original cost, additional cost. So they're sort of saying, like, if we, this is what they think it's going to cost based on what they've seen, you know, from what we've done in the past and, you know, what our audit looks like. I mean, they've reviewed our prior audits. They've, you know, pulled those off the websites. So, and they know how these things work. They do them for other districts of our size. So I just want to be clear with everyone that that's the case. And they, if they think they're going to go way over the 6,200, they'll notify us. And we'll be getting monthly bills. This won't be like they do the audit and we get a bill for $6,200. They're going to bill as they do the work. So, you know, we also have to keep in mind that anytime we start, if we ask for anything that isn't in the agreement, that isn't anticipated, it's going to drive up the cost. So in the past, my understanding from the Tamer thing was she had a fixed fee. It was $5,000. She did the work. And the reason she raised her fee for us, was going to raise her fee, was because she was saying, I'm not making any money on this, and it's costing me more than $5,000 to do this work. And that's why she wanted $9,000. So
I think part of the issue was that residents were calling her directly. So she was, you know, she wasn't –
oh, really?
Necessarily complying with what they were asking for, but she was answering the calls. She was writing them emails saying, look, I work for the district, so it's outside my scope to provide you with this information, you know, because they were calling her, asking her questions. When was it going to be done? What's the balance of our unassigned fund balance? So that was part of, not necessarily all of, but certainly part of the extra work that she, you know, incurred doing our audit.
Okay.
So maybe with the new auditor, we can kind of, you know, nip that in the bud.
Yeah, I don't think we should be having them, anyone, any of our contractors, especially if it's going to cost the district money. We should be clear with them that if they get any requests from any, they should be directing them. If they, anybody contacts them by writing or email, they should be, that we will not
just
be
it to us.
Paying for that.
Yeah.
We will not, or we, if they incur any costs based on them actually responding to anyone, we will not be paying for that.
Yeah, let that property owner pay for the information.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So, if you guys are okay with that, we should sign this. Otherwise, if you want me to call them and just, I mean, I can also clarify that with them. We can send this back to them and say, okay, we're signing this. Please be aware that, you know, in the past, we've had people contact our auditors. You know, we don't want that to be the case here.
Yeah, I was thinking of Paula, so I would agree your concern is well taken, but they did say that they will notify us if it if they go beyond. So that's good. At least we know what we're talking about. But also to possibly mention to them that this contract and communications are between the district and this agency, and that they do not have to answer questions from the public. Costs to be kept between the district office and their establishment and not with citizens of our village or any other town.
Yeah.
So I'll make a motion that we go ahead and sign this document of agreement. There are two signature locations here. I'll go ahead and sign, and then if either one of you, well, I guess it would be Paula, wants to come in and sign out of session, we can do so. Do I have a second on that motion?
I'll second that.
Kathy should second it if I'm going to sign it.
Okay. I'll second it.
Okay.
Any other further discussion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Yes.
Aye.
Aye. Okay.
Do we want to send this back by email back to them, or do you want to send it back an original copy?
Probably an original copy.
Okay. I can
maybe
send them
email it to them, right, and then say the original to follow.
Yeah.
And then I would, if you're going to send it back in the office, I would state in there what we just discussed. Say, you know, we want to be, the Board of Commissioners wants to be clear that, you know, the agreement is with the board Because one of the things they do in here is they actually specify that that Donna and Lynn are the agents for talking. You know what I mean? For like, so okay. It says, you agree to assume all management responsibilities for the non-attest services detailed in the attached addendum. So that's basically, we're sort of saying, you know, this is what we're responsible for this. And by we designate Donna McKinnon and Lynn Baker with suitable skill, knowledge, or experience, evaluate the adequacy and results of the services and accept responsibility for them. So basically, I think we're sort of saying, this says kind of what we're just stating, that we're the agents for this thing, you know.
And they're the point of contact.
And they are the point of contact, yeah.
Okay.
So I would just state in there, you know, let them know that. And we can also have that discussion with them when we first meet. I don't think anybody's been calling them in the next few weeks. When we have the first meeting with them and they come in, we should be very clear at that point that they shouldn't be dealing with directly with anyone but the board or potentially even our treasurer or the administrators.
All right.
Yep. Okay. All right. Very good. I'll come in and sign that. So given that we are going to sign this, then I would go ahead and send out the notes to Tamer today as well. Once those are signed, I'll sign those when I come in as well.
Yep. Send them out on Monday.
Okay. Great. Okay.
We have one other signature item, and that is a letter to surveyors. This is the letter I drafted last week. I included a copy of the map showing the two lots that are to be subdivided. So do I have a motion to go ahead and approve and sign this letter?
I'll second that.
Okay. Any further discussion? Everybody seen the letter?
And for the public who's listening, it's the surveying to alter the lot lines for the lodge in order to subdivide out that one piece of property for potential sale.
And just so people know, we're just sending this letter out to get an estimate of what it would cost to subdivide. We're just getting a number.
We're not doing it. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. All right. All in favor, say aye. Aye.
Yeah. Aye.
Okay. I'll go ahead and sign. All right. A lot of signatures today. All right, I think we got everything under signature items. I'm going to jump down to commissioner's reports. I'm going to walk with Chris to do the unfinished punch list. I just sent an email earlier this week to the office about some things that are on the website, which are pretty much outdated. So they're going to take an opportunity to try to clean some of those up.
Yeah, we'll clean that up.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I saw that. That was good.
I just had a question for the administrators. Do you know how much time we've accumulated so far in doing all the 91A work that's being done?
I have it listed, and I'm having issues. I was going to ask that. I'm sorry. I need assistance in finding stuff because it goes back so old.
Right, right.
Somebody has to come in and...
So, Donna.
Yeah.
Donna. So, one of those items was that $10,000 capital reserve fund withdrawal. So I think that was, and Jay, did that get resolved yet?
No.
Okay. So I think Jay, what happened was, I believe it was the end of 2018, like December, when the pump failed at the DPW well.
Yes. Yeah.
And in a meeting that I believe I was actually at the office, it was toward the end of December that they said, well, we think it's going to cost, I don't know what they thought the cost was, so let's just transfer $10,000 from the Water System Capital Reserve Fund into the operating budget. And I believe it got done in January or February, but I don't think there was any, I don't recall there being any documentation for that, meaning copies of bills or anything of that nature. So if Donna wants to kind of approach it from that aspect, I do believe that was kind of a guess as to how much it was going to cost for us to get the well replaced down at DPW1.
Right. No, I remember that.
I think that's the $10,000. And I remember when we were kind of going through this last year for the audit to find out, you know, the balances in the capital reserve funds, that did get transferred out of the Water System Capital Reserve Fund, but I don't know if there was ever any paperwork for it.
Right.
So maybe you can ask, so maybe find that out from the trustees of the trust funds, if they have any documentation on that.
The trustees have a copy of the request from the commissioners.
I have it, but I don't, there's nothing attached to it. I had to go through all the those CRFs, and I had to pull everything. That was a little time-consuming to recreate all of them, because in the CRF folder, it was just a copy of what we sent to the trustee. So I did recreate all, and I know there was no paperwork or minutes or anything that was attached that I could find.
So the commissioners did approve it, but at the time they had no idea what the costs were going to be, so they just sort of, I guess, tossed a number at it.
Right.
Okay, so I'm going to have to go back to those December minutes, and then go back to the January minutes and see when it was taken care of.
But if paperwork did get attached to it, copies of bills or an estimate, the trustees will have that, because that's what we give them to. They're the ones that need to, they're supposed to look at it and see if it's a valid request.
Oh, okay. So I could reach out and see if there was any paperwork. Yes. Okay.
Yep. And if we can look in QuickBooks and see approximately when that $10,000 got deposited, that would be a good, place for them to start looking. So we would know the date that that money got sent to us from the trustees.
Okay. Thank you.
I believe it was in January of 2019. But only because I remember Tamer doing an offsetting entry, because it was really supposed to be a 2018 expense, even though we actually did it in 19. So there was a audit adjustment because of that.
Okay. All right.
So.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
All right.
So,
Jay, does that make sense to you? That's how that all transpired.
Yep. No, I remember it. And there should be, though, paperwork to verify that the transfer was made to the trustees from the reserve. Mm-hmm. And obviously, it would show up in the budget. You'd see a $10,000 uptick in January.
Yeah.
Yep. To keep moving, one of the other things I had in my report was. We never really discussed this. We have currently 3 plow drivers. We have our 2 full-time employees and Tony Eldridge, our part-time employee, is always available for plowing. Now, seeing COVID-19 is the talk of the times, my question would be as far as preparedness. If one of our employees or more, 2 of our employees, come down with the virus, they have to take themselves out of circulation. We can't have them coming in, even if they say, it's just a cough, I feel all right. They got to take themselves out. And my question is, and we probably should have done this earlier, should we advertise for a snowplow driver?
You know, two thoughts on that. We've tried this over the past couple of years with zero results. And the other thing is, I think it was really a bruise to the egos of, and ego is not the right word, but I think Tony and Jeff kind of felt a little slighted that we were offering, $25 or $28, whatever it was, for a part-time person who had no experience in our district to take over to assist with the plowing. I don't know if you've had a more recent conversation with Kelly and Jeff or not, but I think they're so proud that they would, if one of them went down, the other two would step up and make sure that this district got plowed. Now, that's not the ideal situation, but if you ask them, should we start looking for a third person to have, in our back pocket, a fourth person to have in our back pocket, they would say, we don't need them.
Okay.
Those are my two thoughts.
My question is, I have a couple of questions. Would be one is, you know, if you bring someone on but you don't use them, like, do you have to use, you know, you advertise for someone and then you don't give them any work because you just end up not, there's a difference between having a backup person available. Because do we then, if we bring someone on and we don't need them, but do they still have to be trained on, like, what the route is, you know, what the equipment is? Like, what would we have to do, what would expense would that incur just to have somebody ready to go? I guess the other question is what do we have as a backup for, like, an emergency plan if this were to happen? Like, can we go to Madison, call them in to help us, or Conway, that some other town nearby could give us a driver for our trucks, or that they would back up plow for us? I mean, so I think those are the questions I have. Like, the great
I would rather reach out. Yeah, and I would rather, you know, and I that comment always triggered something else, that maybe we go to somebody like a Coleman's and just say, look, you know, here's the situation. Do you have a little wiggle room there that if we needed to hire somebody, if we have a blizzard of 78 in January, could we rely on you to provide us with some assistance? I mean, to me, that seems like a more legitimate way of doing it. Because if there's a massive blizzard out there and our guys can't keep up with it, Madison's going to be in the same boat.
Right. Every town's going to be in the same boat, including Coleman.
Yeah,
well,
I mean,
even if it's not
a blizzard, what if it's just a regular snowstorm and two of our guys have COVID? I mean, are we going to be able to get our streets, you know, we have to plow for 12 hours and they can only do a certain number of hours at a time. I mean, we just are going to need somebody to come on and get backup. But I'm concerned about, you place an ad, you sign somebody up, the ad should say, just in case, you know, who's available to do this, like, versus having someone on our payroll. Like,
yeah, I think we'd be better off going to a plowing company. Even RWN, I mean, I think they've got trucks. And he was gearing himself up to be a commercial plow guy, to do parking lots and businesses, that maybe, you know, if Coleman's isn't a good option, maybe RWN, and just say, look, you know, this is the situation, and would you be available if we do need somebody and we get desperate? And it costs what it costs, as opposed to trying to hire somebody.
Maybe we should ask Kelly. He may have a backup plan.
Yeah. That's even a better idea. That's even a better idea, Donna.
Kelly has. He might have a backup plan already.
Yeah.
He may know somebody.
The only thing I bring this up is because over a decade ago, on Thanksgiving, day before Thanksgiving, we had 14 inches of snow in Idlewild.
We're not having that anymore, okay?
Yeah. that's what they said then. Prior to the Thanksgiving holiday, the two drivers asked for vacation time. One traveled to New Jersey and had already left the district to visit family. The other one was on vacation. I'm not sure if they left town either. But that Thanksgiving, no one in Idlewild had Thanksgiving. They were not allowed to leave because the roads were not plowed. There was a reach out to Madison, and Madison said, sorry, we can't help you. Our drivers are exhausted. The storm really beat them. And for days, people had nowhere to go. There was just nothing that could be done. So it does happen. It has happened.
Well, I think it's a fair point, Jay. I think you've asked a good question, particularly with the COVID situation. I think we should talk to Kelly about it. Because I would hope that these guys would not let a situation like that happen again, where they left town on the same day and it was, you know, all that.
Right.
I mean,
but I think Kelly and Jeff are so responsible. Yeah. They're so responsible when it comes to that, you know.
As I said, I think there's two questions. One is, how would you train somebody if they don't know our routes or our equipment? And two, you know, or would you need to? And then two, are you required if we hire somebody? Not required, but anybody who answers an ad says, yeah, I'll do it. And then you never call them, or you call them and they get 2 hours for the whole winter because that's all we needed. Yeah. Like, what are you kind of guaranteeing somebody if you give them I'm using that guarantee word in quotes. You want to give somebody a certain number of hours. So, I don't know. I think we should talk to Kelly at next week's meeting and say.
And I think, too, part of Kelly and Jeff's thought process is that this is overtime for them, and they love overtime.
Right.
So if they can work the overtime, if there's a storm that requires them to, you know, work for 10 hours and go home and sleep for three, then come back, that's what they're going to do. They want, not only do they feel responsible to the district, but also that the overtime pay is something that they both count on.
Yeah, right. No, I'm talking about a COVID experience. There will be no overtime.
No, I think,
to Paula's point, not just for COVID, but for anything that you know, having a backup person. And if Tony's out and he can't make it because he's ill, Jeff and Kelly would assume, prefer to work the overtime to get it done.
Yeah, there's also issues with overtime, too, when you go beyond.
Oh, no, they know that. They know that, yeah. So I would talk to Kelly and say, look, you know.
Yeah, let's talk to Kelly and see.
I think Kelly would have the solution to that.
Yeah, I think the COVID thing is the most concerning right now, you know.
Yeah. So I do want to jump ahead. I want to go to 31 East Bergamo. This is the ZBA hearing that happened.
13.
Yep.
Oh, I'm sorry, 13. And we got a drawing that was sent by Colleen, who's the administrator for the ZBA.
No, that was from the driveway permit.
Oh. So, yeah, I'm sorry. So, there also is the septic design and plot plan in there as well. So, again, I guess I'm going to ask, the septic designer, Mark McConkey, wants to come in and visit with us.
That's our understanding.
Okay.
Yesterday.
The day before, I think. Come on.
Okay. So didn't the zoning board approve the variances for that lot and the Blendon lot?
No, it was for the Oak Ridge and the Blendon lot. This
Oak Ridge and Blendon. Okay.
Yeah, they could have. The ZBA could have approved what was applied for, which was the variance from the setback of the house to the wetland. But it was noted by the ZBA chairperson that there were also violations of the setback of the driveway and the leach field from the... So, and he warned the applicant that if they decide to go for the vote for the applied variance of the house itself, that anyone in town or basically in the public could appeal based on that the two other things were missed. And so the applicant decided to go back, have the drawing redone, see what they could do about repositioning the leach field of the driveway. It didn't look like there was much. So I think the next ZBA hearing is going to show a variance from three points, the driveway setback, the leach field setback, and the house setback are all going to be requested for variance. My question to the other two commissioners is, what is our position on this application for variance to the wetlands?
Well, what's the degree of variance? Are they 2 feet from it, or are they 20 feet?
I think the
on
house,
the septic.
On the septic. See, that's the thing is on the drawing, and I don't think you brought it with us. You didn't bring it, with you, right?
Wasn't that?
The letters.
I mean, is the problem that lot is very wet? Is it because most of the lot is wetlands?
Yeah, it is. Okay. Here we go.
Well, you know what, Jay? Listen. So he's going to come in and present us his plan, right?
Yeah.
So why don't we wait and see what they present? They may make some alterations to it. So why are we deciding on something when we don't know what the finished product is going to look like yet?
Right, because I did ask them to move the house further towards the road. That was the village district would actually provide relief from the 65-foot setback to accommodate more space between the wetlands.
We'd rather have them closer to the road than the set. Yeah, okay.
They were thinking about doing that, but obviously now they're going to have to do that. Will now infringe upon the leach field and change the driveway. But you're right. Let's just wait for them to see what their changes are based on last hearing. Mark Conkney come in and visit with the Board of Commissioners to explain that.
Yep. I think that's... And our objections are just objections from the public. The ZBA can still do what they feel is in the best interest of the town. So it's not that we hold the key for approval or disapproval of this variance. All it is our opinion of it.
Okay, so I'll make a motion to have the office reach out to Mark McConkey and have Mark come in and make whatever changes have been made visible to us and have a
discussion. Present the plan.
Yeah. Do I have a second on the motion?
I'll second that.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Yes.
Aye.
Okay, thank you. Normally every year we pump out the outhouses, or we have in the past.
Wait a minute.
When is normal? When is normal?
Yeah, exactly. And we've done it once in the last how many years?
Yeah.
So I guess we did not check to see how full they are and whether they might need pumping this year. But they're all locked up, right?
Correct.
Did anybody remove the sanitation dispensers?
Yep, Dan did.
Okay, great. Mm-hmm. All right, so I guess I'll try to get back into them. I know the keys are upstairs in the office, just to take a look to see. I don't believe we have to do the pumping this year because they were already pumped in the spring, but I'll take a look just to get you some information on that.
Yeah, we didn't open them. We didn't open them until late.
Yeah, but I think Kelly had ideas of when to pump them, so you might want to ask him,
I think what's interesting would be to see how much trash is in them because, the bigger issue is that they cost a lot to pump them. He didn't just pump them. He pulled all the trash out of them and cleaned them. So I think the question is, and one of the problems was is that it hadn't been done for years. So if there's a smaller expense to doing it every year and keeping them more clean now as we go, now that they've been cleaned out, maybe we should do that. But I don't think we need to do it now. We need to probably do it in the spring.
I would, don't go through the exercise of opening them up and all that. I agree. A spring evaluation would be perfect.
Let's look at them when we open them in the spring and decide then, unless you want to budget for it. But I don't think, if it's under parks and recreation budget, last year I think it was $4,000 or something. We shouldn't have to pay that again if we're doing them every year. I think what we want to do is look at them in the spring, have the guy look at them and give us an estimate for how much it would be now. And then if it's you want them looked at now because of the budget, but it shouldn't be, I would hope it wouldn't be a lot, that kind of money again. So.
I'll take a look just to get a status, or even just talk to Kelly.
Okay.
He may have looked himself. Okay. One other question I want to ask the administrators is, so you're going to opt out and stay home for COVID safety reasons, right, physically?
Yeah, I wanted to talk about this moving forward. I was going to suggest that we start going back online. The situation right now is worse than it was when we were online before. Right now there's 19 active cases in Conway, 1 to 4 in Madison, which is pretty low, and 6 in Tamworth. So, but I just think about that room when we've had, not just all of us in there, but also people visiting. We're not probably 6 feet apart. There's not very good ventilation in that room. There's no windows to open. Well, maybe there are, but too cold to open the windows. I don't think it's a safe thing to be doing, but so I don't feel comfortable.
Yeah. So
the only people that have visited from the public was the first open meeting we had, Gloria showed up and I believe Dorothy showed up.
Right.
Correct.
And then Mark and David
came twice. Right.
They scheduled those and made appearances.
Right.
So,
and they could certainly call in their concerns. Yeah.
I like the Madison TV thing. I like being able to, it's easier for people to access that, but we continue to make the tapes available or we can post them if that's possible on our website. And I just think it's safer. But I think the administrators, it'd be interesting to know what you guys think also.
So would you still have Madison TV come into the office?
No.
There's really nothing to tape, is there? If it's call in. Okay.
No.
So I'm just going to ask people sitting in this room with me, there's three others, there's the videographer, there's Donna and Lynn and myself, there's four of us. So we're sharing the same air, is that correct? Do you agree with that? Okay, so how many people are we sharing the air with?
Four.
more than that. Yeah, well, who was in there before us? Who's going to be in there after us? I mean...
No. The ventilation, this is a forced hot air system, so the ventilation is throughout the building. And how many people are upstairs?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah. So there's more people than we see physically in this room who we're sharing the air with.
And the room gets used by other people.
Yeah, I don't know what.
And they're touching the desk, touching the phone, touching the doorknobs.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm gonna ask the administrators, would you feel safer for the time being with the numbers that we have that Paul had pointed out going back to the office? The other thing is you have the availability of having the information at your fingertips when we ask for such things.
Yeah, the only thing for the public, for the video, is the transparency is my concern. But nobody comes to the meeting.
Right.
So if Kelly comes to the office, so if we do a back to the way we were doing them in March, April, and May, and Kelly's in the office, Jay, you usually were physically able to attend the meetings just to kind of coordinate everything. So, and then if Kelly was up there as well, would that be comfortable?
Oh, yeah, but that's probably the maximum amount.
Right, and then if he would only stay for his hour or his half hour, not stay for the whole meeting, that would, again, eliminate a little bit of concern as well.
Right.
Okay, I'm gonna be there on the 17th, which is in the middle of December. So I will be in town. So if maybe we wanted to do it, I don't know if you wanted to do a meeting and talk about warrant articles or do a special in-person meeting to start working on the annual meeting. That might be a good time to do it, and we could do a separate meeting either before, well, probably after our regular meeting, and either use building across the room across from the police department, maybe just the three of us. We won't need Donna or Lynn or the videographer, just to sit down and discuss what we plan on doing for the annual meeting.
Yeah, because it'd still have to be open to the public audio.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Audio-wise,
yeah.
Yep, that's fine.
I mean, we'll see where we are on December 17th. If we can't, we'll do it by phone.
Okay.
It's better to do it in person,
okay.
But I agree. I just think we have to go. I mean, I'm not going to be coming to that room anymore for these meetings for the time being. So the rest of you guys decide. Do you want to make a motion to move back to virtual only for the public?
I'll second that motion, but Lynn has a comment.
Okay.
Even if you do have a special meeting, just the three of you here, don't you need minutes for legal records?
Oh, yeah. And
we could take the minutes. If it's on a single topic, it would be basically just discussion of the warrant articles, so or the budget. So it would be a very narrow scope, so that we could take the minutes for that.
Okay.
All right. So we have a motion on the floor to revert back to meetings at the office in Idlewild until further notice. I may be one of the first ones to get the vaccine in January.
Yeah, hopefully you will.
I'll let you know side effects. I hear it grows more. I'm looking forward to it. Anyhow, so second on the motion, and all in due to COVID-19.
Yeah.
All in favor, say aye.
Yes.
Aye.
And you know what, Jay? I don't know if you agree with this or not, but I think in talking to a friend of mine who is a physician at the hospital, a lot of these cases, they're being documented in some way in the total numbers, but I think there's that whole HIPAA law and there's people that are being tested positive that we don't know about.
I have firsthand, and again, HIPAA law, I can't mention who, but I'll tell you, so when somebody, again, Madison, Idlewild, great number of second homes, right?
Mm-hmm.
So somebody comes here and they have flu-like symptoms and they go to a clinic or the hospital to have those verified and they get tested. If it's a positive test, it does not go against Madison. It goes against the town that came from, that they live, they reside in. So.
Yeah, well, guess what, Jay? Kevin's son flew in from Denver on Thursday. He didn't, Thursday night. Friday, he didn't feel good. A little bit of sniffles. His girlfriend called the next day and said, oh, my God, I tested positive, and she's out in Denver. So he went into Memorial on Monday, and yesterday he got tested positive.
Okay.
But yeah. He doesn't live here. He's staying here, not at our house. He's staying at another house in Center Conway. But he tested positive, so and it's not being counted. So I think there's a lot more people that are positive than we're looking at.
Yeah, that's the way the numbers work. It's the town that
right.
you reside.
And you can't right, and you can't put it in both towns. They have to pick a town. What town are we going to put you in? He caught it when he was in Denver, but he didn't. But he brought it here on a plane full of people. So
right.
So anyway, so if there's an outbreak in Conway, we know how that happened.
what happens in Conway stays in Conway. But
yeah, right. Well,
All right. So we
anyway,
have
so I think that. I think that's a good choice.
Yeah, and we already voted in favor of that, correct? Okay.
Yep.
All right.
So just make sure that we change any notices that are posted on the bulletin board, on the website, post this. So
yeah. Oh, that's
know.
True, Lynn. If you want to look at the website.
Yeah. Yeah, just go back to putting what was there before. And then, obviously, we have Madison TV knows because you're there. So... That they should be, they're notified now.
Yeah.
So, and then the other thing I brought up was the fact that, you know, Donna and Lynn, everyone has to make decisions for themselves, what is in their, what you believe is in your own, how you feel safe in your own best interest. So if you guys start to feel like you don't want to share the office, you should talk amongst, I'm fine with you figuring that out amongst yourself and splitting your time, but that's up to you guys. As far as I'm concerned, I mean, if everyone agrees.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that, too.
I do. I carry the office down and everything every morning. So.
I know. Talk to you guys, so.
Okay. But the fact, because you're both sitting, 4 feet apart, but I guess if you're wearing masks or when you're looking at the same screen together or looking at the same paperwork together, to be ultra careful.
And even in the office, if we're doing the meetings, if you want Kelly to call in, Kelly can call in. Anybody can call in. So if you guys feel like you don't want anybody up in the office with you, I know in the past, Jay was up there in the office with you during the meeting. We don't need a commissioner in the meeting, in the office.
Right.
You can just say it's just us or it's just one person. Everyone should feel comfortable asserting what they feel comfortable with. I just want you all to know that.
Well, I can tell you, it's very comfortable down here in Naples. It's 75 degrees, nice balmy afternoon.
I'd like to go to Naples for the next meeting.
Come on down, Shore.
Out and dust off.
All right.
In it here.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. All right. So how are we doing on the agenda?
So before I jump off of administration, which I guess I did accidentally.
I thought you were on commissioner report.
I was, and I skipped one thing that was handed to me by Lynn. I apologize.
Okay.
And that is the health trust.
That's
Paula. Oh, I'm sorry. Paula's going to. Okay, good. Okay. All right, so let's jump down. I'm done. Let's jump down to Paula. Paula's got
I'm half done because a lot of my stuff. So let me do the health. Well, let's do the health. Let me tell you where I am with the drinking water emergency plan because I don't think there's a lot to do. I'll just report to you.
Okay,
what
you
I've
did.
Done.
So you did. You did get a chance to review
that? I reviewed it. And Kathy, one thing you had noted was that there's a really simple template to fill out. First of all, the current one we have from 2009 follows the same template. So I read through the whole thing. And basically, I went through a hard copy and I highlighted all the things that either need to be confirmed, that they're still true. It's long. But I think most of it needs to be done by Ian. Because a lot of it is just like, what are the current, it's almost like, what are the assets of the current plan? So I highlighted everything that just needs to be confirmed on our, and it is a fair amount. There's a lot, there's the names of the current, who's in charge on page 3, and then there's, this is the responsibilities of the current commissioner who's the chairman and what he has to do. And so a lot of this is just either updating it or confirming what's already here. And I think a lot of this has to be done by Ian, to tell you the truth. So, I think what we need to do is either hand him a hard copy of this one I have with all the highlights and say, but this goes on for pages about what our current system basically looks like. where things are located. I mean, it's very specific. I was amazed that we had this. I mean, it really gives you, if you don't know anything about our water system and you read this, you would know everything you need to know, I think, about our water system. Where, you know, what are the tank capacities? When were they installed? When were they last serviced? What is the demand on the system right now? How much water are we using? So a lot of it just goes through that. And then there's a whole section on bulk and bottled water, right? So at the end of the day, there's no backup system that we're close enough to, and it states that already. But then there's things like, how do we notify the district if there's an emergency? Well, a lot of this says we're going to do brochures, and there's an email tree or a phone tree. There's no phone tree that I'm familiar with. But instead of, an email tree, there's email blast. So, I've sort of noted some of that stuff. I guess the question is just process for getting this done. I can send a note to Ian and copy everybody, just sort of explaining this. My guess is he does this for other districts as well, for other systems, and he's probably reviewed this. And yeah.
And what's the date on that one? The current one?
2009. And then the other thing is there's five appendixes. So most of these are just documents from the New Hampshire Department of Environmental Services. So I searched and found all the updated versions of these. So most of them, they're fact sheets and whatnot, and so everything was just outdated. So I've already pulled the new ones, and I have saved on my computer PDFs of those, which I can then put that all together and send it to the office. I think the big question is do we have an electronic version of this somewhere?
No.
And this was actually also prepared by Iron Mountain Water Services in Glen, New Hampshire.
Right, they were our previous water operator before Ian.
And the Ian's father was the owner of that.
Iron Mountain was in between.
But he's actually, no, it says Iron Mountain Water Services, Scott Hayes is the system operator. And Ian's number was listed underneath that. So that must have been his father's company. He must have changed the name of his company maybe or started his own company. But I guess the question is, do we have a digital copy of this that he could either update or that we can update if he gives us all the confirmation on this? Do we know if there's a – because this is a lot to retype, I'll tell you, but somebody's going to have to actually create a version of this, a digital version of this. Have we searched
the hard drive on the computer?
This follows the template already, Kathy. So if you had this already done, a lot of it doesn't have to be redone, but does it exist in a Word document somewhere?
But the template that's provided, is that an editable template?
Yeah, but it's just a lot of typing to go and retype this whole thing in again. Why? You know, if we already have it, why would you bother? You know what
I
mean?
I used to know if that template was something that you could actually type in and fill in the blanks.
Yeah, you could, but you're just all it's for doing is providing the headers that are already in there. So it'd be better to start with what we already have, the 2009 version. So could you guys search the hard drive of the computer? You know, do a search function on the current our current computer and try to find this.
Well, let me ask you this, Paula: is the version you're looking at the information that's specific to our system? Is that typed in or is it handwritten?
Oh, everything's typed. This whole thing is a huge document.
So if it's typed in, it's got to be online somewhere. It's got to be a Word document or a PDF, or it's got to be there somewhere. Then if it was entered into the computer, so it's got to be there.
The only problem would be if Iron Mountain did it, and Iron Mountain just sent the office a PDF. It's hard to edit a PDF. And I gotta tell you, I'm a really good typist, so I could even sit here one day if I had to and retype the whole thing. But I really don't want to. I mean, obviously, if we could find the original, that would help us a lot. So if you guys could search for that and let us know, you can either send an email to us and let us know if you found it or report back next week. But what I can do is, if you guys are okay, I will reach out to Ian and start to ask him just about this. I'll copy everyone, but I'm happy to take the lead and start to get him involved in this because he's got to read through all this and make sure, confirm that it's all correct. I would assume most of it hasn't changed. I mean,
right.
Really,
the only thing would be the Rhinox stuff.
And that's the question. Okay. If the new tank is up and running by March when this is due, which I would hope, we might not quite be there, But do we want it to reflect that, or do we want to update it in March and then update it again in May when we are online? Because mm-hmm. it will be affected by that. So it's coming along. But a lot of this is if there's emergency. I mean, we should just make sure. It really should be updated every year. It should be sort of checked every year to make sure that it's correct. The other thing is part of one of the attachments is about that. And maybe we have this. I haven't read our water ordinance, but there's one thing called implementing water use restrictions of public water systems. And they actually provide, as part of that document, a water use restriction ordinance for water system that is a template, Kathy, that you can just fill
okay.
in. And
okay.
I don't know if this is currently part of our water ordinance, so that's the next thing I was going to check. I need to go through our water ordinance. And if it's not,
I don't think
we should add this to our water system ordinance. It's about 4 pages. It's a pretty long ordinance. And it has
okay.
a lot of things in here we don't need, but you could just put it in as just so you have it. It can't hurt to have it in there. Like, you know,
right.
you have different levels of – so if you have a level one restriction, you can't do landscaping. If you have level two, you can't fill your pool. I don't think we have any people with pools, but it wouldn't hurt to put this – you know,
yeah.
you can just leave
okay.
it in there. So
yeah, I don't think there's anything
through,
in – yeah, there's nothing
yeah.
in our ordinance at all that references water
okay.
use restrictions.
And it has like penalties if we were to put a ordinance in place. If you
mm-hmm.
then did start washing your car or doing landscaping, water, you know, sprinklers, there would be fines and penalties.
Okay.
So I
think that's a good thing to put in, especially in light of this past summer.
Okay. Okay. So work in progress. Nothing
good
to
job.
Do right now. I'll reach out to Ian if everyone's okay with that. That's the emergency drinking plan. And then the health trust was the other thing I wanted to bring up, because at last meeting, Kelly basically asked us to re-look at this. And now they're supposed to get back to us by this week sometime with what they want to. But I think, you know, the question really becomes, like, you know, he sort of said, this is not enough. And he said that before. And, you know, I keep going back to the idea. I've been thinking about this a lot. Like, I think the real question is, and we've talked about this, but I just want to bring it up one more time. You know, what kind of employer, and I think it's bigger than the employer. I think it's what kind of community/employer do we want to be, and what can we afford to be, you know? And I think we want to be supportive. For me, I feel like we want to be have a strong sense of community here and provide the most that we are able to for our employees. You know, the big question comes down to expense. And if we were to provide, say, another $5,000 in our budget to cover the family plan for Kelly, for example, it would cost about $25. That's an average, because obviously it would be a tax expense. $25 per property owner. That's a really rough number. So, you know, I just started to come back and really think about that. And I don't know. It's a tough one. I think it's, you know, but I remember at the last annual meeting, I feel like a lot of people, I felt like the majority of people, as I recall, were very supportive of making sure that our employees had the best plan that we could afford. So, you know, one of the things that, Jay, you've brought up is that, you know, if you say, yeah, we're going to cover the family plan, you have to budget for $10,000, which is $5,000 per person. Because if somebody
mm-hmm.
doesn't take it, but then that person leaves and we hire somebody that wants it. But, you know, I feel like in this case, if we were to provide it, we would budget for one person taking it, because I don't think Jeff would take it. We'd put in the $5,000, we'd cover it. And let's say Jeff left and we hired somebody that wanted it. You know, we'd have to find the money somewhere else in the budget. But it wouldn't be for the full year. And you kind of, you know, look at it that way. I don't know. I would lean towards providing it to them, but not providing any deductible. But
well,
I don't know.
One solution, I think, was what they did a couple of years ago was they
mm-hmm.
said, okay, because of that situation where a second employee
right.
or maybe we hire a third person and
right.
they opt to take it. So what the district did was we had a capital reserve fund, and there was, I don't know, 10 grand in a capital reserve
yeah,
fund
yeah. Yeah.
in case that happened. So it's
right.
not going to affect the operating budget. So you're not, A, over budgeting, and, B, you're not scrambling.
Right.
So you
right.
had money set aside in a health care, health trust,
yeah.
you know, capital reserve fund. So if the voters,
right.
we won't know until March if they decide to do that, but that was one
right.
way to get around that, you know, not knowing what the outcome was going to be.
Right, right. I mean, I the way I look at it is like when I say what kind of community do I want to live in, I think about the fact that there's been plenty of nights when I've been sitting here in my living room and I have a view, you probably have the same thing, Kathy, from your house. I can see what's going on up on the hill, you know? And
mm-hmm.
I sit
mm-hmm.
here nights and it's snowing really hard and I feel really warm and safe in my house and I see those yellow lights going up and down the hill, you know? And I think, you know, it makes me feel good and I feel like, you know, we put our employees, it's not an easy job that they're doing. There's a lot of risk involved in the work they're doing during the
yeah.
winter. And I feel like we owe it to them to take care of them. And part of that includes the health plan that we offer them. And, you know, it is a tough one. I mean, I you know, the fact that we live in a state where most of these folks are going to have the opportunity to have this family thing where the state takes care of their kids is, if we didn't have that, I would be like, hands down, we have to provide the family plan, you know? You have to. But, you know, in these circumstances where somebody wants it, I don't know. I've sort of, my thinking has evolved on this. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, I know we've got two really good employees, and it would be a shame to lose either one of them over that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll agree with Paul and Kathy, so I call you correct. So at $5,000 for each member to go to the family plan, so you're right, it's about $25 per homeowner at the
mm-hmm.
average home, about $250,000.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I like Kathy's idea in what was done in the past where
mm-hmm.
We currently know that Jeff has stated that he's going to stick with Healthy Kids, which means he
yeah.
won't be taking our family plan, so there'll be
$5,000
mm-hmm. that we don't have to budget for. But to Kathy's point, should anything change in the month of January, February, or whenever, he has to go onto our plan. If we put a warrant or article forward to create a capital reserve fund for health care insurance of $5,000,
mm-hmm.
the money's there. You just
mm-hmm.
need it once. And if 5 years
yeah.
from now he decides to go on to our family plan, then the money's
mm-hmm.
there that given year.
Yeah.
We don't
yeah.
have to raise
yeah.
every year. So I agree. That's good budgeting. That's good, you know, with respect to what type of community we want to have. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
we want to keep guys, and the taxpayers have stated repeatedly, do what needs to be done in order to keep them. So I agree
mm-hmm.
with you. We prefer the family plan
yeah.
to both. And either budget for it or create the capital reserve fund to be able to switch one or more employees over to it if we need to.
Yeah, I think, yes, if we budget for one for this upcoming year for 2021, but at the annual meeting,
right.
Create
yeah.
that capital reserve fund and like you said, and seed it with $5,000 or $8,000. Because if we do, actually the deductible wouldn't change.
Right.
Yeah,
so
I
deductible
would
stay the same, so it would be just the deductible.
Yeah. I would only fund $3,000 in deductible.
Yes.
And the other option you could have would be $1,500 for each adult, or you could just say $3,000 total for anybody's deductible. I don't know, you know, if it matters that we're funding $1,500 for each person. Their deductible is $3,000, so you know, you could just change it to we'll fund up to $3,000 total. So that if one of them has a big issue, a big medical issue, one of the couple, right, or
mm-hmm.
the kid, you know, one of the children does, you know, they're getting, so potentially for Kelly, for example, he's going to have $9,000 in deductibles costs, right? And you
right,
say to him,
yeah.
we'll cover up to $3,000 total for either person, anybody. And the same thing for Jeff, if it's only him and his wife, then we'll cover $3,000, whether it's for each, you know, whichever one, because that tends to be what happens. I mean, you have one person that has medical issues, and so, you know, hopefully, I mean, you know what I mean? Like that.
Right. Well, Kelly, like you said, Kelly's surgery, you know, he's having
yeah,
surgeries
like
done.
Yeah, why not give him that? Yeah, yeah.
The other thing you could also do, and this is another idea, you guys, I'm just tossing it out there, is say, we'll refund up to $3,000 total for either out-of-pocket for copays or deductibles. You could also do that. Because copays don't count toward a deductible, but say all you're doing all year and you don't have a medical expense that really cuts into your deductibles, but you end up doing a lot of visits and you need the $25 or you need physical therapy, then you're just saying, we'll cover up to $3,000 for your costs. I don't know. I'm just to me, that would provide a little more flexibility, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
The big thing right now is
because we're budgeting
whether or not,
for it anyway, guys. You know what I mean? We're budgeting for this. So if it's budgeted for and we can cover it, or, you know, yeah. That would be another way to.
Just one logistical thought. So if we do that this year, you've got to remember that we're talking about two employees. We're actually talking about three. We have
mm-hmm.
one that's Cobra for a few more months.
I understand that. Yeah. Okay.
Right. But she wouldn't.
Yeah.
But she wouldn't have any need for a family plan.
Yeah. So we know we wouldn't need that for this year. She wouldn't need the family plan. That's a good point, Kathy.
We have to offer it, and yeah.
No, I understand.
Well, it's always
She can't put anybody else on it, right? I mean, she doesn't.
It's only her dependents. It's only her legal dependents.
It's only legal dependents. So it's not like she can. She's not going to be able to add anybody to it.
The only thing that would be different would be her because the copays and the deductible would be we don't have to subsidize that for a Cobra enrollee.
Right.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Okay.
The information has to be shared with her. Yeah. Okay.
No, fair enough. And we should actually be doing that because we that thing that we gave to Jeff and that document, we should have given it to her too, guys. She needs to enroll by the end of by the same deadline. So I think one thing is I think we have to notify the state by December 11th. So one, I think we should, if we're going to do this, we need to modify the plan, and I could modify that document if we do it today. Just say what your cost would be. So I would change that $5,000 to zero. And if you want to change the way we do the deductible, we would change that. We don't have to change it. I'm just throwing out ideas.
Yeah. We wouldn't have to notify.
Whatever we agreed, we'd have to notify them. What I'd do is modify that document, send it to them, give it to them today or tomorrow, you know, hopefully get it to them this week. Give them now until December 8th or give them a few more days, you know, and then also get it to Nancy as soon as possible.
And there's an explanation in there.
That was an oversight. I forgot about her and that we needed to notify. She needs to enroll. She needs to sign that document as well.
Yeah.
So we need to get that to her. So I don't know. What do you guys think? I've thrown a lot of ideas out there. I don't know what you want to do.
So I'll make a motion that we go ahead and offer the family plan to our employees.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's already offered, but that we're going to absorb the cost of the family plan.
Yes, that's what I mean.
Okay, so yeah, it's got to be specific. I would make that very specific. That the district will assume the cost of both the family plan and the two we will. I don't know how you want to word it, but we will fund the plans. We will offer at our expense, at the district's expense, the family plan.
Well, actually, all three plans under. I forget what that code number is for that plan.
It's a $3,000 deductible plan.
I can give you the name if you need it. It's called. And I just to go back, I mean, the only thing I think we should, I'll wait till you make the motion and then we can have a discussion. I'm looking for my paperwork on these plans. Oh, wait, here it is. It's called the Access Blue New England HMO with deductible ABS. OS 25. It's got all these code names. I don't think you need all that in the. It's the same plan we've been offering, but we're just extending to cover the cost for the family plan.
Okay. So the motion's been made. Do I have a second?
Do you want to make any other motions about the deductible, or do you want to leave it the way it is? $1,500 per person.
Yeah, let's adopt the plan first. We can talk about the deductible.
Okay. So I'll second the motion.
Okay. Any further discussion on the offering of the family plan to all employees as well as
nope.
B2? Okay, all in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Yes.
Okay. Now, the deductible. We currently have $3,000 per year. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
But it's up to $1,500 for each employee and spouse.
Right. So now that we have...
So we're picking up the cost of the family plan, and then if we change the deductible to we'll pay up to $3,000 regardless of who incurs those expenses, but let them keep paying their own co-pays. Because Madison makes the Madison has the employees pay in 5% toward their health care, and so we're not doing that. Then we can let them keep... You know what? All those little 20... I mean, it adds up, but to manage it and be reimbursing them, you know, I think we won't make them pay 5%, but let them take care of their deductibles. I mean, their co-pays.
Okay.
Let them take care of their co-pays.
I think that's fair.
Yeah, if I go with the family plan, the maximum deductibles is $9,000.
Yeah.
It's right. It's $3,000 for one spouse, $3,000 for the other spouse, and then $3,000 for all the kids lumped together, all the dependents lumped together.
Now, under the existing plan today, we only have the two-person plan, and we were willing to pay for 50% of those two spouses getting hit full deductible. So that was a total of $3,000 out of six.
Right.
Now that we've got $9,000, are we willing to raise that to $4,500 in deductibles that we would cover for the family plan?
Yeah, if we do it, I would actually keep it $1,500, because the odds are the kids are not going to have deductibles. You never know. You know what I mean? Like, they're not going to meet the deductible.
Leave it at 3,000, and then that way.
Or up it to 40. If you up it to 4,500, keep it. It has to be for each of them. Yeah, like up to 1,500.
We would cover 3,000. Period. So regardless of which component, spouse one, two, or the children need it, they'll get up to $3,000 reimbursed in deductibles.
Yeah.
Even though we're now adding another layer because it's the kids, like you said, the odds are that they will not, you know, have that much of a, they're not having major surgeries and diabetes, cancer, and those kind of treatments, cancer treatments and things like that.
I mean, they tend to be less expensive. That's what all the, you know, the actuaries will tell you.
So we'll pay for the family plan. There's no contribution by the employee. They will continue to pay their deductible, and we'll change the deductible amount to be $3,000 per family. Per family. It doesn't have to be 15 and 15.
Okay. So
what do you think of that, Jay? Do you agree to that, Jay? Does that make sense to you?
So let's just take an example of three employees. One is a family plan member, the other is a two-person member, and the other is a single. Let's say we have a three-employee workforce.
Nancy's a two-person.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm not talking specific. I'm just talking in general if we get new employees tomorrow, and that's our card. We have a single person, a two-person, and a family. So are we saying that each we'll get $3,000 worth of deductibles, because the single person would obviously have no deductible at all. The two-person plan would have half paid for by the district, and the family plan would have one-third paid for by the district. If we go back to what Paula said, where it's $1,500 per member and children, whether you have one child or nine children, that's considered one member. If $1,500 per member, you know, each one would have to pay $1,500 per member versus just making it $3,000.
No decision's ever fair to everybody. So, I don't know.
I see what Jay's saying about if you have a single person and there's just $3,000.
But we don't.
You could make the plan that it would be either. Yeah, I mean, you could just leave it the way it is, to tell you the truth. $1,500 for each adult, and
no deductibles for the family. Yeah.
And technically, and I think, I don't know if it was somebody pointed it out in the Primex in the health trust document, that we're only allowed legally to reimburse for up to 50%.
Yeah.
Oh, we are.
Right.
I think that's legally.
I didn't know that. I had no idea. So what I just said then is wrong. My idea.
Yeah.
So we either add $1,500 for the family deductible, or we don't add it. And maybe this year we don't add it. We see how it goes. You know. I mean, I think it's we're upping. We're adding this pretty expensive component. You know what I mean?
I agree. Yeah, and that's what he was, asking for, really. I mean, yes, I know you know, he needed more of the deductible because wife didn't have anything, but he did. But
right.
I mean,
but if we can't legally
ask for everything,
we
just can't do it this year. So basically, we're back to the original deductible plan,
right?
Which is $1,500 per member, up to $1,500 per member. So per each spouse, and then per each group of kids.
Well, right now what it says is VDOE will reimburse deductible costs of up to $1,500 for each employee and each spouse who participate, I would say, in the two-person or family plan. That's what it says. Additional family members who participate in the family plan will not receive any deductible reimbursement. So it hasn't changed. And then all I'm going to do is change the cost for the family plan to zero.
Okay. So we won't do we're not doing $1,500 for the kids.
It won't be zero. I'm sorry. He's got to pay for the... pay period family plan. So all I'm going to do is change the cost for the family plan to zero monthly, zero annual, zero pay period.
Okay. So are we going to budget $1,500 for the potential of the kids deductible, or
I leave it just for the employee and the spouse.
Okay.
So
right,
additional family members who participate in the family plan will not receive any deductible reimbursement. It already says that. So all we're doing is changing the cost of the family plan to zero. That's the only change.
Okay.
And then,
And again, they're not contributing anything, so that would help offset the deductible costs and if the kids have any deductibles, which typically they don't, but...
Well, if they do, they've got to cover it, and he's got to cover all the co-pays for everyone, you know? I mean...
Why would a child not have deductibles? I mean, obviously, they don't get hurt.
No, I'm saying they might. I'm saying they might.
I mean, because most of the children's expenses are all covered under the basic plan.
Under the co-pays.
I guess it's when you have, like, elective surgeries
Yeah.
You know...
I mean, the co-pay tends to be the things that aren't... You have to co-pay for things that aren't covered, right? So, yeah, say your kid falls and breaks his arm and he needs an X-ray, there would be deductible costs there.
Yeah.
On average, Jay, all we're saying is that children tend to be healthier than adults. It's not always true, but they tend to be.
And the things that they do, if they get rushed to the emergency room for a bee sting, that stuff gets covered.
Well,
there's no deductible there.
No, there's co-pays. No, there's co-pays for that stuff.
There's co-pays,
but
I think... Right, but I don't think that they wouldn't say, well, you know, 300 of that goes against your deductible. You haven't met your deductible yet.
No, there would probably be deductible expenses for that. There would be, you know, there's an emergency room visit, but say there was an X-ray. The X-ray they'd have to pay for. That would come out as the deductible. But children tend to be healthier than adults. That's why we're saying this, Jay. We could say, no, let's offer $1,500 toward the family cost. It's up to us.
The kids.
Yeah. They may not spend it. They may. If they need it, it would be there, and we would budget for it. You know? I mean, it's another $1,500 at this point. It's not a lot more to add. What does anyone think? Where there's silence.
and we can see how this year goes, and then we can take another look next year. There's also a dental plan that was also offered to the town employees in Madison. Again, we'll have to look at that in addition to maybe expanding the coverage and covering deductibles for next year. But
okay.
I think this year, let's get everybody under a family plan, at least off of that. And, you know, it's better than leaving it the same. So.
Yeah.
But, yeah, let's take a look next year at also adding possibly dental and some other benefits.
I think, and again, you're not asking for their contribution to the premiums either. So, you know, they've got to shoulder some responsibility for health care.
Yeah.
Do we have a motion on the floor?
I think we passed the motion. We passed the motion to expand the coverage to cover the family plan costs. I don't think if we're not changing the deductible, we don't need a motion for it.
Can I ask what was the percentage of the plan that they were paying?
They were paying the incremental costs for. They were paying the incremental costs for the family plan to add the family plan. It was $5,000 a year. So now we were covering zero. We're going to cover that if they opt into it.
And could you also take a minute to, for budgeting purposes, to put together a warrant article for health insurance coverage to establish a fund? You got that? Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Now, Donna, either maybe you or Lynn would want to reach out to Catherine to see what we have to do to establish a new capital reserve fund.
Okay, Donna.
Already is a health care reserve fund. There's nothing in it unless it was abolished. Do you know, there used to be one. There used to be a health.
Yes, there was. There was $20,000 in it. Oh, yeah, there you go. That's a good idea. So see if the the trustees of the trust still show that as an open capital reserve fund.
Okay. So maybe we'll have to reestablish.
Yep. Right.
Okay.
I'll have Donna ask something on Monday.
All right.
Okay. So next steps, I'll change that document today. Or actually, you could change it if you guys want. And I would just leave it, like, the document that we gave to Kelly and to Jeff, where it says under family plan, it says 416,59,40, you know, 5,192.27. You would just change each of those to zero. And then what I would do is change the date that we need them to sign and return it, and I would make it December. Hold on, I'm going to pull up my calendar. I would change it to December. How about December 7th or 8th? We have to get it back to Health Trust by the 11th, I think.
Okay. And then also send a copy to Nancy.
Send a copy to Nancy. Say, Nancy, attached is the health care plan that we're offering for 2020. We need you to sign and return this. If she doesn't sign and return this, she's going to lose the plan. We need you to ask her to acknowledge receipt or put a return receipt requested on the email.
Okay.
And then tell her to sign and return this. By the 7th. And do we have to send a copy to her power of attorney person?
The thing is, because her cost isn't zero. She pays for her plan. So that document,
right.
I think, would be misleading when it says all zeros.
Oh, wait,
because
you're right. Oh, all right, wait. So how much is she paying for the full cost of the plan?
It's, I don't know, $1,200 a month, maybe?
It is... $1,190.27.
Yeah, so that would be $1,200 a month. So I would call Peter Chappell and ask him, what do we do? How does Nancy re-up her COBRA?
Yeah, because that we have a 6.4% increase in the premiums this year, so she'll have to be notified of that increase.
Yeah,
so she's,
and find
she's
out what the COBRA
paying the same cost. Is she just paying the cost off the sheet that he gave us?
Yes.
No. Is she?
That's right. Yeah. That's how COBRA works. You pay the same as what your employer pays with a 1.5%.
It's the exact same amount. And I think,
well,
isn't it like a
2%? The two-person plan is $1,230.28 a month. That's for next year.
But there was like a 2%. Wasn't there a 2% handling fee or processing?
Oh, okay.
It was a couple of, I mean, like not a lot, but there was a few points above what the actual printed amount is on that form.
So then what I would do is I would put a
I'd create a copy of the document of the plan, and maybe put at the top under employee information enrollment, put COBRA version or something, you know, then fill in the cost at the bottom for the just offer her the 2-person plan because you could or get the cost from him for what it's going to be.
Yeah, because
fill that
Donna,
to her.
Yeah, so Donna, if you would call either Donna Rowland, and call Peter Chappell at Health Trust and say, what is the COBRA rate for a 2-person plan for 2021?
Get the family plan cost too. I mean, we should offer it to her, even though she doesn't. And then if we're not reimbursing her deductibles, we can take all that cost out for deductibles.
Yeah.
Take that whole paragraph off, you know, about what her about the fact that we're reimbursing her deductibles because we're not reimbursing.
Yeah, because we're not. Nope.
Over rate for a 2-person plan for 2021.
Yep.
And get the family plan cost also.
For COBRA.
And then take out, and on the cost section of that document, take out the deductible reimbursement. If you want any of us, you can send it to me if you want me to look at it before you send it to her, just to make sure we've got a second set of eyes on it. I can do that.
We'll probably all be done on Monday or Tuesday, okay?
Okay.
And yeah, I'll be around. You can send it to me. I'll be happy to look at it.
What's the date for the cutoff for Kelly and Jeff? Did you determine the 10th?
I would say the December 8th.
December 8th.
And hers should be the same. We have to get this back from her, but in the same on the same date.
I'm fine. Okay.
Okay.
Good.
I think that's all under my section. Sorry, that was a lot.
Okay. Okay, Kathy, you're up. What do you got?
Well, nothing this week.
Yay.
Because I've been kind of, you know, overseeing a little bit of the Reinhardt project, and nothing's really changed. So the spreadsheets are all the same, and nothing's changed until we know what to do with that $2,200 or so or $1,900 from Jones and Beach. So that's about it.
Okay. I did want to have the two commissioners think about dates in December to start going over the budgets and then putting together the actual warrant articles. Because some of these warrant articles...
Well, so, Jay, I said, I'm going to be around the week of the 14th. So Tuesday, I got to go to Twin Mountain to get my license renewed. But all day Wednesday, I will be around.
Okay.
So whatever
any
that date
day
is, the
16th. Fine for me. I'm good any day that week.
So right. Jay, you're around that week, and that date works. Let's schedule just a work session, and you and I can either do it in the office, or if you want to do it at the police station, or not the police station, but at the conference room you're in now, and just focus on strictly budget and warrant articles.
Okay.
That Wednesday would be perfect. We can do 12-hour session if you want.
Yeah, seeing that or more. All right, I want to go over correspondence real quick. So we talked about Mark McConkey. So we're going to have him come in and do a presentation. 26 Outlook, 39 Interlake and Circle variance requests.
There's one, the one on the left there is from asking for the variance. They want us to waive the
this one?
Yep.
Okay. This is from Phil Barlow.
Yes.
That's the one? I thought he was 21 Upper Lakeview.
I put that on there.
Yeah, that's here.
Mm-hmm.
So he's asked, I think I remember, for...
A water hookup.
He's looking for a water hookup. He wants confirmation that there's a water line in front of his property, and we don't usually engage in answers unless the application process has been started. He's willing to pay a small fee in order to... The only way to find out if there's a water line in front of this property is to actually dig. And I don't want to be digging. Yeah.
Jay, what lot was it that Ian replied that he knows that there's one going down the road, but the drawing just shows down the road. We don't know if it's left side or right side. And
that's East Bergamo. That's East Bergamo.
Okay, that's the one you... Okay, all right. So I know Jay that Ian did reply to one of the inquiries regarding the potential for water hookup.
Right.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
So So this one, he's looking for some sort of confirmation that there's a water line in the ground. So
that's only because he wants to dig a well
right.
before it gets too cold to do that. That's why he needed to know one way or the other.
Yeah.
I'd like to know one way or the other.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the way the water ordinance is written now, if we had that minimum fee to do the either the engineering or whatever exploratory to determine whether you have enough pressure or water line, but we don't have that right now, and I really don't want to have, even if he's willing to pay for it, to have the pavement dug up at this time of the year, because I think the pavement plant is closed as of this week. It's usually around Thanksgiving they close. So I don't want to have a hole in the street just to tell him that, yeah, we found the water line, and even if we do find it, we may find it the hard way, which is by we actually break it. That would cost a lot more, a small fee to fix that. I don't want to say with absolute guarantees that there's a water line in front of that property, but we also know that the houses on either side of that property have water from our system. So, there's a water line, but, funny things have happened in Idlewise. We've said that before, and go to find out that there's not. Obviously, this year we had that happen to us once already. Right. Yeah, and that is true, because the water in that whole area is, that's why they're talking about this pressure valve on Upper Lakeview, is to correct the pressure problems, the low pressure. So we could actually find it and determine that he doesn't have sufficient pressure with the current configuration, and until it gets fixed, he may not be able to hook up. But we don't know that right now. Again, I really don't want to say anything in regards other than currently our hands are tied, and we ask that you go through the water hookup process, the application. It's the only way that we are currently allowed to determine whether you have enough water, first of all, water source, and enough pressure.
And even that won't happen until next spring, correct?
That won't happen until next spring, correct. And if he applies today, he would be covered under the ordinance the way it's written today. So, for example, if we determine he didn't have enough water pressure or there's no water line, he gets all $8,000 back. If he wants to wait till the spring, the ordinance may change, and he may end up losing some money just to find out that he can't get the water.
Yeah, but he can earn interest on his $8,000.
Right.
So basically what we're saying to him is, can we say to him, listen, we're pretty certain that there's water hookup because on either side of you, your people have water. However, there's nothing we can do at this point to tell you whether or not there's enough pressure there. We can't do that testing until the spring. So, that's as much as we can tell you right now. And your options are to apply now, and we'll get to it as quickly as we can in the spring, or to wait and apply in the spring.
And he'll be first on the agenda for spring hookup.
If he applies for a well now, he's not going to get a well until we turn him down, right?
Correct.
No, he could do it if he chose to.
He applies for a well, but if he doesn't know that we've turned him down, can he apply? Well, is it likely for him to get a well approved if we don't give him a no? I thought it was hard to get a well unless you had a no from your system.
No.
Or is that not?
No, you don't need a no.
Oh, okay.
But it's a lot
just
cheaper
apologize,
to get a well.
They were really sorry. Say we'd really like to help you out, but there's just not much we can do right now.
Right.
I mean, I think it's okay to be apologetic about it. To say, I'm really sorry. We'd like to be able to help you out. We just can't.
Because
figuring out what you want to know would require digging, and we just don't. We don't. It's too late at this point. And the ponds are freezing. I mean, I noticed this morning the channel's frozen. It's starting to freeze over. So it's too cold. But you could say to him, we're pretty certain that there's a line, but we don't know if there's, we can't confirm it, and we can't tell you if there's enough pressure there. And we're really sorry. It's just too late.
Yeah.
I'd be kind about it.
What about him being first on the list?
And say we'll get to it as quickly as we can in the spring, assuming we have your, but we'll need your application and $8,000 in order to do so. So you're welcome to file that anytime.
Yeah, you can say with the completed application and the $8,000 fee, you will be first in line when weather permits.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We also had 26 people. Is that the logs that are alongside the road?
Mark McConkey wanted.
Oh, okay.
Wanted to cut Will and 39
Interlaken. And 39 Interlaken. So, but we don't know what the variances are.
I don't recall if he said or not.
Is this the thing about Larry Sedano wrote the note that there was an issue with the trench on the road?
No. That was enough.
You know, on that correspondence, which we never discussed, Ian sent a note saying he could fix it, but it would cost us. And I'm like, why should we pay for that? Shouldn't it have been fixed by whoever did it originally at their cost?
Yeah, I don't like paying for things twice. If something was done incorrectly at the first time, possibly.
Or incomplete.
I know, yeah, he said that because the hole was full of water, the water had to settle, and so the material sank, had to be repaired again. But that happens in Boston all the time. They put more than enough material so that it doesn't get compressed. It goes back to its natural level. Yeah,
and they're the ones that broke. And they broke the water line. They're the ones that hit the water line,
right?
Causing the hole to fill, causing the ditch to fill with water.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know why we have to pay for it again. This doesn't make sense. Okay, I got two emails from. One from Mark McConkey.
Those are the two ones.
Wait, so what are we going to do with that one? Are we going to write back to him and say, no, fix it at your at whoever's expense caused the problem?
To Ian?
Yeah, somebody needs to reply to him.
Yeah, I think we should write back and say that the water line was broken by the contractor, which caused whatever situation you're referring to, which has now caused a depression. So it should be on the contractor to bring the road back to its original condition, even if it's several months after the fact.
Was this a broken water main, or was this a new house installation?
It was. They were doing a hookup, and they accidentally broke the water main trying to find it.
Who was doing it, Dawson?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I didn't know they were doing other installations. All right. This is way down on Interlaken. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to have the office respond to him then?
To Ian?
Yes.
Yeah.
Have Ian call the contract back to bring their...
Ian coordinates all of that, so he's like the engineer on the project.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And say to Ian, please have the contractor... complete the installation
and
so that the road is in its original condition.
Yeah.
I guess that's the one Mark McConkey.
Yeah,
no,
so have you sent us out this email to all of us? Or
Mark McConkey?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So has everybody seen this one on 26? Well, person had purchased a lot from the town. And the lot has been, they called him to survey and design a septic system. I brought in a wetland scientist to map the wedge of wetlands and have the septic where I feel comfortable that it will get permitted. It doesn't mean the need for a variance, I'm pointing out. I would like to discuss that in house placement with the board. Okay. The second one is... located at 39 Block, and this lot was previously NHDS approved, and the septic design is now expired. Once again, we need to discuss the septic placement. I have enclosed...
Hey, on all of these, though, there's really nothing for us to discuss until he brings the plans to us at the meeting so we can look at what his proposals are.
Yeah, he does actually show the plan here in his email.
Okay, but he wants to present it to us, and maybe it's some new high-tech septic system that the footprint and the design, it's safer, it's less likely to leach into the wetlands. I mean, he needs to explain to us and convince us that what they're proposing is worthy of a variance.
Right.
So why don't we just wait till he comes in and presents those plans to us so that we can determine based on his discussion and our questions whether or not the person representing the board is in favor of it.
Right.
Right.
So, make sure he knows that there's nowhere to come. He's got to call into the meeting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Could you reach out to him, Lynn? Set up maybe one of the things to call into us?
Yeah, I think he wants to do it on the 3rd.
The 3rd, that's what I remember, yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to have to hang up here in a few minutes because I'm sitting out in my car for 3 hours. Is there anything else urgent that would require us to review?
Yeah, the only other thing that came up was in some photographs, and I know that Kelly has taken care of a lot of the road issues that were pointed out in those photographs.
Okay.
And other than that, let me just look real quick. I don't think we have anything. Unless anybody else...
You're saying he has taken care of them already? Is that puddle
no.
at the bottom of... Oh, okay.
Yeah, one with 113...
Send a reply to Mark. Now, do you want to reply to Mark and say thank you for the information? Or thank you for the pictures?
I don't know.
Donna may have.
Do we think we should?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I do, too. And he also sent three estimates of what the value of the Ford 550 is for sale by, I mean, I don't know what condition those trucks are in versus ours, but they were all pretty close in price in that $33,000 to $35,000 value. So that was kind of interesting. I appreciate him doing that.
Yeah.
So just thank him for sending those.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, just say thank you for the information. You know, that's all. And like he said, at least acknowledge the fact you got it. And I agree with him on that.
Okay. Right. Okay. Do we have any other information?
I don't think so.
Okay. So I'll make a motion to adjourn the meeting. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Before everybody goes, I just want to wish everybody a very happy Thanksgiving. Fortunately, we're somewhat restricted this year, but we'll get by, and next one will be much better. So very much.
Okay.
Thank you, Jay.
Yeah, thank you, Jay. Thank you, Paula, for everything. Dinah, as well.
Thanks.
And Lynn and Donna, have a safe couple of days here.
Yeah.
All right.
All right,
everybody.
All right,
bye-bye. Don't hang up yet. I'm going to come down to the office in about an hour or so, hopefully. I'll be there to sign stuff, okay?
You'll be there?
Yeah, I'll stay.
Okay.
You don't have to wait. If you want me to come now, I'll come now. I mean, when do you want me to do it? Will you be there for till 2 o'clock or so?
Probably more like 1:30.
All right, I'll come in about a half hour. I'll come in the next hour. I'll be there before. I don't want you to wait for me. I'll come anytime you need me. I'll be there soon.